nothing like turning away from that, and we go back into our entertainment part of life, where we can enjoy things and not deal with the realities of the tragedies of life and things like that. And a new book is out, and I love this one. This is a good weekend for books for me. It's called The Funniest Comedy Icons of the 20th Century, and it includes comedy icons who were involved in baseball as well as great Hollywood stories. It's written by John Stanley. John Stanley was the entertainment editor of the Chronicle for 30 years. He also was one of the hosts of Creature Features, if you remember that. And he interviewed, like I do in baseball, the great people of comedy. And John put together a beautiful book about those interviews, and it is out. And John, it's a pleasure to have you on. I've really enjoyed the book. And again, it's one of our great escapes from life to enjoy these entertainers. So thanks for being on.
Well, thank you very much, Marty, for inviting me. My son, Russ, who's vice president of ticket sales for the Giants, called me this morning to tell me about Jose's death. And I thought to myself, how ironic that we should also be planning to talk about people like Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. You know, they both were baseball lovers. And, in fact, as you probably know, Bob Hope owned a piece of the Cleveland Indians from 1946 until the time of his death at the age of 100 in 2003.
And you got to meet Bob Hope, and let's segue into this, because this is the great part of the book. These are personal moments that you had with these people. It's just terrific.
Well, that's what I wanted to try to get across in collecting these interviews that were done over a long period of time. I kept a copy of each one in a scrapbook, and I was flipping through one of the scrapbooks, and I suddenly realized, wow, I've got interviews with such an incredible collection of people here. Mae West, even, Rodney Dangerfield, Sid Caesar, Imogene Coca, Joan Rivers, who just died not long ago. I just felt if I could just put all of this together and let the reader feel as if he's part of what's currently going on. They're written in the present tense, and that hopefully gives them a greater sense of reality.
One thing about Bob Hope, now, you mentioned that he was also, he bought a share of the L.A. Rams football team.
Yes, he did in 1946. So did Bing Crosby. They both owned an interest in the team, and they kept their shares through 1962. And Bob Hope would often have members of the team on his television specials. He would have them up there. He would make wisecracks about them, one-liners, you know, and he really turned them into TV stars in his own special way.
Now, one thing I learned yesterday, and of course you're a newspaper guy, John Stanley with us, 30 years, the entertainment editor of the Chronicle, remember the Los Angeles Dons of the old American Football Conference? They preceded becoming the Rams. And why were they called the Los Angeles Dons? Because they were owned by Don Ameche.
Don Ameche was one of the great motion picture stars of the 30s and 40s. He did a lot of musicals and comedies, and he was also on radio in a show called The Bickersons about a married couple that were always constantly arguing with each other back and forth.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Don Ameche. I never got to meet him. But I have a collection of his radio shows here, and I've heard most of the Bickerson shows.
Very good. I didn't know that. I read it in The Steamer, the book about Bud Ferrillo. I read that just last week. John Stanley's with us. All right, John, let's talk about some of the icons that you've talked about. I know in Hollywood, the old Hollywood stars, William Frawley used to go there all the time. Bob Cobb, who owned the Brown Derby. There's so many Hollywood people that still show up in Southern California. But Jackie Gleason is one that I'd love for you to talk about. You did have a chance to meet him, I believe. And
yeah,
he was a great Giants fan. He was a tremendous Giants fan.
Oh, yes, I met Jackie twice. The first time was in Lucille Ball's backyard. She was making some television specials in 1975. And at the very last minute, because I was an out-of-town member of the press, I was invited by CBS to go to her home And I had no idea what was going to happen that night. The publicist wouldn't tell me. He said, just go and you'll be in for some surprises. Well, Art Carney showed up, and Jackie Gleason showed up. We were all out in Lucy's backyard next to the swimming pool, eating hot dogs as we interviewed her about her upcoming TV shows. You know, she was making one with Jackie Gleason. And Jackie Gleason didn't arrive until a little later, and he came walking into the backyard, and he paused and looked at us all, and he said, you're a good group. And he told us how he formed all of his famous lines, you know, like Away We Go.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was when he was in a bar with all his friends. He'd pick up the bill, say how sweet it is, because he was going to pay for everyone's drink. And then he would say, and away we go, meaning finish your drink. I'm going to take you to another bar and buy you another drink.
Well, that was fun. Joe the bartender was one of his big guys.
Yes, and Joe the bartender became one of the recurring characters on his CBS series.
Well, he hung out with Toot Shore, and that was the watering hole, as they like to say,
that's
in New York.
That's where he got those terms at. They would always start at Toot Shore's. That was his favorite. And that's when he would buy the first few rounds of drinks, you know, and then they would go off to other clubs. Lucille Ball was really cute that night. She came from the studio. She was shooting one of her TV specials with Jackie Gleason. These were one-hour shows. She didn't want to do comedy shows anymore. She wanted to do different kinds of stories. And very quickly, she told me how she had saved Star Trek. And I said, what do you mean you saved Star Trek? And she said, well, in 1966, I was running Desilu Studios. I was the head of the studio. And NBC called and said, we want to book your Star Trek in September for Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. But we need a green light from your studio to assure us that you're going to do it. So Lucy called an emergency meeting, and all of the producers and financial experts gathered in front of her, and they all pleaded with her, Lucy, don't do it. Gene Roddenberry spent too much money. It's too complicated a show with all the special effects. It'll bankrupt Desilu. Don't do it. Well, Lucy is sitting there, and she thought about it for about 2 hours. She said, I even cried at one point, thinking, how am I going to tell those wonderful people, William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, that they're fired?
Yep.
And she couldn't do it, so she picked up the phone, she called NBC, and she said, we are going to produce Star Trek.
Wow. All right.
That's how it came about.
Beautiful, John. The book is terrific. It's all these personal interviews. I'm going to ask you about one more. Rodney Dangerfield, always one of my favorites.
You got to meet him.
What was he like?
Oh, he was wonderful. He was just absolutely delightful. And, you know, there are so many stories in the book that share not only the comedy of their lives, but the downside of their lives. For example, Rodney talked about his upbringing. He had a terrible, in retrospect, he had a terrible upbringing. He didn't like his father. He wasn't treated well. And he just spent a lot of time telling you this, but he would tell it in a very funny way. He would be constantly turning something sad or unhappy into something funny. Shelley Berman was also the same way. He was telling me about how his son had died at the age of 12, and how he had to deal with a program in which he got angry. He lost his cool, and for some reason the producers didn't cut out that footage. And when people saw it, they grew a dislike for Shelley Berman, and it affected his career drastically. Sid Caesar told me how he had become an alcoholic, how he had become a pill addict, and how it had ruined his life at a certain point, but he was coming back. He had rehabilitated himself. So it's, you know, these people really were human. There was always that human side to their stories that I really always wanted to try to capture and include in with the comedy elements.
Well, you did a great job, and I appreciate you being on this Sunday morning. The funniest comedy icons of the 20th century, John Stanley, put out. John, where can you get the book?
You can get them at Barnes & Noble. You can order them on Barnes & Noble or on the Amazon. And it's published by Bear Manor Media.
Okay.
And they have a website. It's all one word, bearmannermedia.com. And that's a company that specializes in books about the history of the entertainment world, movies, and television.
All right, and it has a nice little baseball flavor to it with Hope and Crosby as well. And yeah. I always like to mention the Book Tree up in Montclair. That's a good independent place to get it. John, nice to have you on, as always, and it's a pleasure talking with you, and congratulations. These are sort of interviews like I like to do with baseball players. So
yeah.
When you pick up the book, it is something. It's not just a question and answer. It is John being
these
with these folks. They're good.
You are with me. I knock on Bob Hope's door. We go inside. We have lunch at the window, looking in the backyard. He takes me up the stairs. I see all the USO photographs of the tours he did in World War II, Vietnam, Korea. Huge pictures of the presidents all autographed. It was just it was an incredible experience, and I tried to recapture all of that for the reader.
Very good. John, thanks for being on, as always. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Marty.
All right, that is John Stanley. Yeah, it's Sunday morning, and as one of our tweeters says, Andrew Harris, he loves talking about comedians from the 50s on our show, because on a morning like this where we have the tragedy of Jose Fernandez, I think we're fortunate to have John Stanley booked this morning. To take our mind off of that for a little bit. So, Andrew, very, very poignant tweet to us this morning. Thank you so much for doing that.